evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, September 11, 2020. South Sudanese authorities ban the use of foreign currency for transaction in the country.
Because we don't know how much is going outside in terms of the outflow. We don't know how much is coming inside in terms of the inflow. The outflow of 50 million, 100 million, what is it for? To buy weapons and come and overthrow the government, or what is it for?
And Sudan introduces tough laws against smuggling of goods.
Based on our intelligence, we hereby activate a state of economic emergency, the formation of a joint force to protect the Sudanese economy, which will be comprised of the army, the police, the rapid support forces, the general intelligence, and the custom authorities.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Officials at South Sudan's central bank say they will ban the use of foreign currency for transactions in the country to prevent further depreciation of the South Sudanese pounds against the US dollar. The governor of the South Sudan Bank says payments for goods and services will be done in the local currency. Many residents of Juba Town are complaining about recent price increases in the markets. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Saida Juan, a resident of Juba's Rock City residential area, says prices are higher each day she heads to the market. The mother of seven says a kilo of meat, which sold for 700 South Sudanese a few months ago, now costs 2,500 South Sudanese pounds. Juan says her family can now only afford to eat greens vegetables. She is urging officials to do everything in their power to stabilize prices of goods and services.
Things have become very expensive, including vegetables and meat. The traders selling goods in the markets have been blaming the prices hikes to the increase in the dollar's rate. My message to our leaders, they should try by all means possible to not allow foreign currency to dominate our markets, because dollars is not our currency. We are really suffering in this country.
Juba resident Monica Kiko says she does not know how her family managed to survive these past few weeks with commodities prices shooting up every day.
I don't know what to say, but only thank God that my children eat a meal a day. But my worries are those who can't find something to eat. You must be grateful if you find something to eat every day, because the prices keep on changing.
Yesterday, the Business Committee of South Sudan National Assembly summoned Bank of South Sudan Governor Gamal Abdallawani, Finance Minister Salvatore Garang Mabior, and Ijok Bulen, the Deputy Commissioner of the National Revenue Authority, to answer questions about the depreciating South Sudanese pounds against the U.S. dollars. Wani attributed the country's high inflation rate to the nearly 62% drop in international oil prices, ongoing violence in the parts of the country, and increased military spending. He says South Sudan earns only $4 to $6 on a barrel of crude today, which amounts to $30 million a month compared to $900 million a month in 2011. When he proposed, the Bank of South Sudan issued new regulations banning the use of foreign currency in the country.
To ban locals from possessing foreign currency. Everybody is carrying money, foreign currency. Locals, illegally. Do they have licenses for that? No. Why are they operating there? You question one, you find some people coming from the left and right with knives, with sticks, and somebody is beaten up. How do we control this? That is a priority of the government to take it up. Prices for all goods and services in South Sudan should be dominated in South Sudanese pounds.
Wani says the government should regulate the entire national payment system, including monitoring the movement of cash in and out of the central bank.
To restrict currency exchange to government approved exchanges, to restrict the amount of currency that may be imported or exported. That is why we need the national payment system, because we don't know how much is going outside in terms of the outflow. We don't know how much is coming inside in terms of the inflow. The outflow of 50 million, 100 million, what is it for? To buy weapons and come and overthrow the government, or what is it for?
Wani says the central bank does not have sufficient reserves to rescue the current economic situation. Today, the dollar exchanges for nearly £500 on the black market. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Khartoum, where Sudan's transitional government has declared a state of economic emergency to curb the country's skyrocketing inflation and dramatic depreciation of the Sudanese pounds against the U.S. dollar. The government formed a joint security force and special courts to punish individuals engaged in smuggling goods or trading in foreign currency. A Washington-based analyst says security measures are not enough to rescue Sudan's economy. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
At a press conference in Khartoum last evening, Sudan's acting finance minister, Hiba Mohammed Ali, blamed the drop in value of Sudan's currency on smugglers and currency traders that she says are deliberately trying to sabotage Sudan's economy and stifle the transitional government.
The dollar has increased at a maddening rate on the parallel market. We have followed this with our colleagues in the security sector, and their reports have indicated that this is a systematic plan of sabotage through the use of forged currency, speculation in gold prices, and buying at high cost while refusing to sell, including buying huge amounts of gold at price higher than those of the international stock market.
In July, Sudan's Central Bureau of Statistics recorded an annual inflation rate of 143%. The inflation rate was 114% in May and 136% in June. One U.S. dollar is worth close to 300 Sudanese pounds on Sudan's black market today. Ali says her government is taking urgent security and legal measures to crack down on smugglers of gold and subsidized goods such as wheat, medicine, and petroleum products.
Based on our intelligence, we hereby activate a state of economic emergency, the formation of a joint force to protect the Sudanese economy, which will be comprised of the army, the police, the rapid support forces, the general intelligence, and the custom authorities. We also declare a raft of deterrent laws to protect the national economy and special courts to deal with the matter.
Suleiman Baldo is a senior policy advisor at the Century, a Washington-based organization that seeks to root out corruption in African governments.
The decision of the transitional government to declare an economic emergency was, of course, triggered by the unprecedented nosedive, rapid depreciation of the national currency, the Sudanese pound, vis-a-vis the dollar. In the space of some 40 days, the dollar has passed from, 150 or 40 to Sudanese pounds to the dollar to some 300. Therefore, the rate of depreciation was very ominous. It risked paralyzing the cycle of the economy nationally.
Baldo says the government must do more than just crack down on illegal traders.
This was the security response to an economic crisis, but to stop this aspect, which is one of smuggling or illicit dealings in currency and subsidized goods. But this is not enough. The government really needs to take tough action to basically try to stop, dealings in cash. Sudanese deal with, big sacks of Sudanese pounds.
Baldo says Sudan's central bank must implement restrictions on the amount of money people can withdraw in a day, monitor the circulation of cash in the country, and take measures to reduce the demand for the U.S. dollar. He says Sudan's transitional government must also reform the banking sector and bring military spending and similar sectors under the oversight of the finance ministry.
A lot of expenditure to the tune of 70% of national expenses go to this security sector, defense sector ministries, but they, through their cooperation, generate a lot of revenue and they do not report this to the Minister of Finance. So, this is a kind of comprehensive measures that the transitional government should have taken today to put an end to all this structural theft of public money that is ongoing under the transition today, because the military component is refusing to submit to the oversight of the Ministry of Finance.
Sudan Justice Minister Nasruddin Abdul Bari enacted harsher punishments for smuggling, increasing the punishment in Sudan's customs law from 1 month in prison to 10 years in prison, and increasing the punishment for smuggling in Sudan's criminal law from 5 years to 10 years in prison. A new law announced yesterday also bans the buying and selling of gold and all precious metals in Sudan unless it is based on the country's central bank regulations, which stipulate that gold proceeds must strictly be used to import strategic commodities that include wheat, medicine, and petroleum products. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
The Zimbabwe government is making moves to reopen the economy, with so many sectors in dire need of revival after months of COVID-19 lockdowns. Reporter Josae Zenivashi has more from Harare.
Information Minister Monica Mutswangwa recently outlined plans to ease lockdown restrictions and open an economy that had been in a tailspin even before the pandemic hit the country.
Government is finalizing on modalities for the reopening of airports to support the resumption of the tourism sector. The plan is to start with the resumption of domestic flights and then move to international flights. Cabinet approved the resumption of the rest of tourism operations, including boat operations. Regarding primary and secondary education, the ministry is continuing with its preparations for the reopening of schools for the end of year 2020 final examination classes.
Domestic flights have been allowed to operate beginning Thursday, and international flights will begin October 1st. Clive Chimwanda is with the Hospitality Association of Zimbabwe. He hailed the move to resume air travel.
The opening up of the skies is a welcome development in so far as our industry is concerned. The COVID-induced restrictions of the past few months have been crippling to the sector. It will result in confidence coming back.
He says while air travel is an enabler, it doesn't necessarily mean tourism destinations will be pegged during the holiday season, because some travelers plan seasonal vacations months in advance. President of the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, Obed Masaraure, however, is skeptical whether proper measures have been put in place for schools to open.
Government is seized with the publicity stunts as they try to do a lot of propaganda around their preparedness for schools opening. What they must be focusing on is to ensure that these basics are provided for in our schools. We've been communicating with the National Association of Secondary Schools, yet they are confirming that there is nothing that is being deployed in our schools.
Government has promised to provide personal protection equipment and transport to both learners and teachers. Passengers Association of Zimbabwe President Tafadzwa Goliath says the public transport will be further strained.
Public service vehicles are already inadequate and failing to cope with the current demand. They will be overwhelmed by students and teachers' demand in addition to existing commuters.
Public sentiment is mixed about the economy reopening. Some are happy the dry spell in their income may be ending, while others worry about their safety once they get back to work. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinamashe from Harare.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, SPLM-IO governor in Western Equatoria State cuts down budgets for operations. That story is after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your most valuable possession?
My valuable possession right now will be my laptop, because I have a lot of confidential documents on it that are very dear to me and I can't afford to lose right now.
I think my smartphone that my dad bought for me, yeah, I treasure it so much because it was so expensive and I was so happy.
Being in school means so much to me. Yes, I know I've not yet finished, but I'm struggling to reach there because I know it is important to me and it will be something good to me.
My most valuable possession is a photo I took with an important personality in the entertainment industry, and it's an important possession to me because anytime I look at it, it encourages me and inspires me to attain higher heights.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linar Mudu. The World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. United Nations aid agencies are stepping up emergency operations to assist many of the estimated 750,000 people affected by devastating floods in Sudan. The World Health Organization warns of waterborne diseases and is sending two specialized teams and supplies to the Sudanese capital, Khartoum. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Sudan's Humanitarian Aid Commission says more than 500,000 people have been affected by the worst flooding in the country in at least 100 years. It expects the number of people needing help to reach 750,000. The commission reports dozens of people have lost their lives. More than 100,000 houses have been destroyed or damaged. Agricultural land is underwater and unusable, and thousands of livestock have been killed. The International Red Cross Federation calls the magnitude of the flooding disaster unprecedented. It says teams of Red Crescent volunteers are helping people move to higher ground. The organization is appealing for $12 million to provide emergency shelter, safe drinking water, food, and other essential needs for at least 200,000 of the most vulnerable people. And the World Health Organization warns of an outbreak of waterborne and vector-borne diseases such as dengue, chikungunya, malaria, and measles. WHO spokeswoman Fadela Shaib says the UN body has delivered supplies to prevent and control those diseases. She tells VOA that the WHO also is taking measures to try to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
We have sent diagnostic tests, laboratory equipment. We have helped in training technicians and doctors to recognize symptoms on COVID and how to help patients. We have also disseminated a lot of information, including in the language of Sudan, Arabic.
The World Health Organization reports at least 13,439 coronavirus cases, including 833 deaths in Sudan. Shaib says the country's health system suffers from years of underfunding, staff shortages, lack of equipment, medicine, and supplies. She says the WHO is working to fill in the gap. The Organization for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs oversees humanitarian operations by aid agencies. It also manages the Sudan Humanitarian Fund, a country-based fund to which donors contribute money to carry out the flood-related programs. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
From Geneva, we move back to Western Equatorial State, where the state governor says he will not provide funds for Maridi, Amadi, and Tombora counties. The acting administrators in the three counties say they need money to meet running costs and office operations. For VOA News, Siba Martin Murangi reports from the Western Equatorial State capital, Yambio.
The three defunct states last received operating costs in March. Governor Futio says he will no longer disburse money budgeted for operating costs, saying the three counties will receive funds once county governments are formed. Governor Futio says he does not see any point in allocating money for operating costs in the counties since county government officials are vacant.
My government for this time will not be for eating government money. Some people just defied government money. Anyone who comes just embezzles government money without delivering service to the community.
Rather than disperse money for operating costs to county officials, the governor says he will use that money instead to provide services to citizens.
The issue where operational costs could come and be distributed among officials on the table will no longer be there. This money will be put into an account. The operational costs of Tombora, I am using it to maintain security at the border of Western Equatorial State and Central African Republic. The operational costs of Maridi, I am using it to repair the road between Maridi and Iba, which is impassable in Marco. The operations costs of Amadi, I am using it to fill the road in Langwa between Maridi and Mundri.
Agre Soro, former Secretary General of the defunct Tombora State, says Tombora needs money from the governor, even though county commissioners have yet to be appointed.
So the government found wise, let the program of the counties go to deliver until the counties are properly established later, which is still going on, according to Local Government Act 2009. So we said, okay, that is a problem, but later on it is not good because this money has been existing, and even though the states are already there, that money actually is coming from the 10 states. It was continuing from that time. And now we say, no, there's no work in other states any longer. All those states have to come here.
Soro says Tombora received 22 million South Sudanese pounds in March, 8 million pounds of which was to be used to pay salaries, and the remaining 14 million pounds was spent on operational costs. Rende Benjamin, former Secretary General of the defunct Maridi State, says his area received more than 4 million South Sudanese pounds for operating costs in March. Daniel Mande, a political analyst in Yambio County, praised the governor's decision to redirect the funding for the former states to provide services to ordinary people.
Previously, operation costs have not been used the right way, and because of this, he has redirected the usage of this that will foster peace and development in Western Equatoria. I'm grateful that the OC for the defunct Tombora State will be used to foster peace in that area, as well as the one of the defunct Budu State is being used to renovate the state hospital, and also he has used the one from Meridi for filling potholes of road between Meridi and Yambio. That is really very bad, as well as the one for Amadi State will be used also to fill potholes in that part of the region.
Governor Futio did not say how much money will be saved by no longer sending money to Amadi, Maridi, and Tombora counties. For VOA News, I'm Seba Martin Murangi in Yambio.
From Yambio, we move to Malawi, where a 9-year-old disabled boy has shown his community that being born with physical challenges does not prevent you from doing many things. Talandira Kogoya was born with only one limb, but has taught himself skills like riding a bicycle, playing football, and how to write. Local documentary about his life called Chosen has been nominated for the 2020 Focus on Ability Short Film Festival, expected to take place in October in Australia. Lamek Masina reports from Falembo District in Malawi.
Raising 9-year-old Talandira, who was born with no hands and only one complete limb, was not easy for the Kogoya family. Agnes Kogoya is Talandila's mother. She says some women were laughing at me when they saw us riding on a bus go to school. They would say that they wouldn't bother to take such a child to school every day. I would just ignore them and say to myself, this is a good given child. But the Southern Malawi community's judgment of Talandila changed when he proved that being disabled does not mean being helpless. Talandila is now able to ride, play football, and ride a bicycle. His self-taught skills were featured in a local documentary called Chosen, which was nominated for Australia's October Focus on Ability Short Film Festival. Malawi authorities say Talandila's story sets a great example for other disabled people and how they should be supported. Beaton Mpilisi is a social welfare assistant in Palombe district.
We are very proud of Talandila being engaged in a competition. This will assist other parents to come out and expose their children to various social activities, that they can be assisted a lot and they can achieve what they are expecting in the future.
Talandila's mother is confident that the documentary about her son will do well at the festival. She says the dedication and wisdom that he has are what makes me believe that my son's documentary will win the award. As for this young student, his dreams do not stop in Australia. Talandila says he plans to fly airplanes one day. He says, I want to be a pilot because they fly people to various destinations across the world. I also want to see those places. In the meantime, Talandila is happy piloting his bicycle around the neighborhood. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Palombe, Malawi.
That's our show for this Friday. I have to leave you in a dancing mood with Emi Yore singing in Zande language.
Sagumbolimo, on a garan in Bataya Koni Big Ben.
Sungo na monyingoko
Kani ringara kani mungacho Kani ringara kani mungacho Ringara sande kani mungacho Ringara sande kani mungacho Kumba chingarani kani mungacho Yo yo yo
We've been listening to Emi Yore with the song Kena Borongani. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We would like to thank our listeners in Tonge and Rumbek who are now enjoying continuous good programmings from The Voice of America. We have some good news for listeners in Wau who will also soon enjoy VOA programs for the first time. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask if you must leave your home. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Aborosted, Oni Banabera.